Did the FBI, did anybody know anything prior to, you know, with 9/11, we're hearing stories that we were warned, people knew. Was that the same with the Oklahoma City bombing case?
Well, there are reporters, one in particular named Don Devereaux, an excellent investigative reporter, lives in the Phoenix area, and he has told me, he's really an expert on this, and he told me that there was, and this has come out since, that there was an ATF undercover agent that was in Elohim City, which is the, you know, the Aryan Nation compound that Timothy McVeigh allegedly interacted with, and that there may have been some prior knowledge with respect to the ATF in terms of, you know, some kind of a plot that could be related. Now, again, this is not my area of expertise. The prior knowledge on Oklahoma City, I can talk about 9/11 with great chapter and verse, but one of the interesting things that's come out in this latest revelation, and I can set the stage for you in that it came, the most recent information that led to the discovery of explosives in the home of Terry Nichols in Harrington, Kansas on March 31st. Now, these are explosives that have been there, George, for 10 years, and those explosives were hidden in a crawl space in a sub-basement of the house. The FBI had searched the house apparently thoroughly, and yet these explosives weren't found. Nichols, who was in the ADX Florence, which is what they call the Supermax prison in Florence, Colorado, it's considered the most formidable prison in the federal system. He's in that prison on a row with one Gregory Scarpa Jr. And Greg Scarpa Jr., as you know from having read my book Cover Up,
right.
Greg Scarpa Jr. was a former Mafia member of the Colombo crime family who was convicted really of just mere RICO violations. And in 1996, in very quick summary, he began informing for the FBI on Ramzi Youssef, the original World Trade Center bomber. Well, separate from that, he's now in the Supermax, and he was talking to Terry Nichols, according to two forensic investigators who interact with Greg by phone and have the right to come and visit him, one Angela Clemente and Stephen Dresch. Angela is a remarkable forensic investigator based in New York. Stephen Dresch is a Yale PhD who lives in Michigan, and the two of them work on a lot of cases involving government reform, and they are on the list to talk to Greg Scarpa. So he told them in late February that there was, right around the 1st of March, that there was, that he had picked up word of some kind of a, quote, bomb on U.S. soil. In the beginning, he wasn't too specific, and he said it involved some brothers and there was some anniversary coming up. He was rather cryptic, and they quickly surmised that this might have to do with Terry Nichols, whose brother James in Michigan was an early suspect
right.
and then released. And, cut to the chase, they went out to see Greg in the middle of March, around the 10th, and 11th. Pressed him to give up these details, which he did, and he showed them notes from Terry Nichols and gave incredibly specific details of nitromethane, which is one of the components of the Oklahoma City bomb, a crawl space with incredible precision where it was located. And the FBI finally went in and found exactly what they said that he said. Now, with respect to your question about prior knowledge, according to Angela and Dr. Dresch, and this is coming secondhand now. I'm giving you like the third hand version because they talked to me. I made a petition to see Greg last summer when I was writing my book and the warden wouldn't let me in, and we can talk about that later.
Sure.
But Greg basically said that, Nichols told him that, Roger Moore, who was one of the figures in the original trial and investigation, he's an Arkansas arms dealer. Whose house was supposedly robbed, and the feds alleged that the funds for the plot came from a robbery that Nichols and McVeigh had participated in at Roger Moore's. That, in fact, Roger Moore was the source of the explosives, and that he was an FBI informant. The implication was that the Bureau was monitoring these guys, and that the bombing had gone awry, in other words. So that's the best I can do right now. If we could get in to speak to Greg Scarpa, we'd know more. But as I said, when I petitioned the warden, Robert Hood, last summer, I talked to him. He wrote this extraordinary letter that's in my book Cover Up that said, if I'm allowed to go in, it will pose, quote, a risk to the internal security of the prison, the inmates, the staff, and the general public. You know, me with a reporter's notebook and a pen threatening this prison. So, question, what do they have to hide?
Absolutely. What is Scarpa doing? Is he a friend of Nichols? Is Nichols telling him these things because he thinks he's his buddy? Or has Scarpa just got an ear here and he's hearing these things?
Well, based on my knowledge of Scarpa, and at some point, if you don't mind, we have a couple hours, I can go back and tell you why this Scarpa Jr. was so reliable with respect to the 96 information,
right,
which is why I'm paying attention to what he's saying now. And I really have faith in Angela and Dr. Dresch in terms of what they have provided me with in the past. They've never been wrong on anything they've given me. They gave me tremendous documentation that was in cover-up. And so I'm just going on their sense of Greg's credibility. But Greg is a extremely smart guy, and his motivation in 1996 in talking to Youssef, and he was in the cell right next to Ramzi Youssef. This is, now, to refresh the recollection of those who may have heard me the first time or those that don't know my thesis, what I have found in these two books, and one is called 1,000 Years for Revenge, the other is called Cover Up, and they're both on my website, peterlance.com. What I found, George, is that Ramzi Youssef, the original World Trade Center bomber, was the specific architect of the 9/11 plot, that he designed it in the Philippines in 1994. He set it in motion in the fall of 94, and after he was captured in February of 95, his uncle Khalid Sheikh Mohammed merely carried out the plot. But this was an al-Qaeda plot. This was funded by bin Laden, as was the first original Trade Center bombing cell. And it goes back, really, to 1989 in New York City. That's how far the trail goes back, 12 years. So it turns out that Scarpa is on the same tier in the Metropolitan Correctional Center, federal jail in Lower Manhattan, 1996. And the feds are going to try him first for what was called the Bojinka plot, which we can describe.
Sure, and that's very important to describe that when we get into it.
Right, and then they were going to try him later for the World Trade Center bombing. So he's on this tier, and I could not make this up in a million years. Scarpa is in a middle cell. Youssef is on one side, and on the other side is one Abdul Hakim Murad, who is Youssef's, one of his oldest friends, who was a member of the Manila bombing cell, who was a trained pilot, been in 4 U.S. flight schools. And Youssef wants to pass notes to Murad through Scarpa. Scarpa, as it turns out, his father had been a notorious FBI informant for many, many years, what was called a top echelon informant. And Greg reasoned initially, just for out of self-interest, that if he ratted these terrorists out to the feds, to the FBI, he would get some what they call downward release time.
A little leniency he wanted.
Under Rule 5K1.1 of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure. So he began telling them this information, which included threats by Ramzi Youssef to have his people put a bomb on a plane to get a mistrial, and we can explain the significance of that. Youssef is also telling him that he's going to kill one of the federal prosecutors that's going to prosecute him in the Bojinka case. He's telling him that he has a cell in New York, an active al-Qaeda cell, which no one knew, at least the feds have never admitted to, in 1996.